Blog Talk Radio.
Servers that secure them and say that I am who I am
They expire from time to time, and I didn't check it early enough yesterday, and the certificate had expired, and I don't even think I was in my right mind because I was trying to change the certificate on the wrong server. And so by the time I figured it out, about an hour had gone by, and we will meet on Sunday afternoon for the business meeting if you're able to attend, and we will continue to work on those USDA applications. And I pray that you have, you know, for those that have a copy of them, that you have been filling it out and follow the instructions, but, you know, we will go over it so that we can make sure that we are doing it correctly and that we're on the same page. And then Tuesday night is the new moon service, if I'm not mistaken. I'll check that again. I believe Tuesday night is the new moon service for November. And so we will be celebrating and observing that. We missed for October, but I don't want to miss for November. And so we will be observing the new moon service on Tuesday night rather than newcomers class. All right, with that being said, we want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the Internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. I want to welcome everybody in North America and South America, those on the African continent that are in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the communist bloc country. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. While we were at the farmer's market today, you know, Yah is good, and people are starting to recognize the name, and they recognize it, you know, for the name of Messiah, the name of Israel. They see Messiah's name in there, and Yeshua, you know, it's just a blessing to have people to acknowledge it. And not get upset. I think they're actually happy that some law keepers are in the neighborhood, to say it that way. But, you know, it was a blessing for them to recognize the name and be praising Yah out there with us. And so I thank Elohim for them. We are starting to get a lot of comments, positive comments on, you know, the microgreens, and people leaving positive comments on the powders, and, you know, things like, well, you got a lifelong customer here and those types of things. And so the work is starting to pay off, and we hope to see the fruit of this labor and just steadily to increase. With that being said, I'm ready to get into this precept and to go ahead. And so let me have the ladies to cover their head. Men, uncover your head, and let us do our statement of faith. And let me put that up. Okay. We have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And let us go before the Most High, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20-21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, Father. We just give you glory, honor, and praise unto the Yah Elohim. And we lift you up and magnify your name, Father. For you are glorious and you are marvelous and you are worthy to be praised. And there are none like you, Father. Hallelujah. None like you. Who is unlike to you, O Yah Elohim? There is no not one, Father. And we bow down to you on this day. And we honor you. And we praise your holy name. For truly it is worthy. It is worthy. It is worthy. It is worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all that you do, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for allowing us to provide. Thank you for health and strength. Hallelujah. 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 I just want to thank you, Father, on today. Thank you. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would return from our wicked ways, and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. But Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. And Father, we are turning from our wicked ways and repenting from our sins, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit. We pray for all that are called in Abraham, Father, that they would hear your voice and come and obey Messiah. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar. Thank you. scripture reading for tonight will be John chapter 15, verse 10. The book of John, chapter 15 and verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
The Bible says my king is a seven-way king. He's a king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's a king of Israel. That's a national king. He's a king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Well, I wonder, do you know it? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He's august and he's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He is the supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He is the cardinal necessity for spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the age. He is the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meager. I wonder if you know him. Well, this is my king. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Yeah! 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 That's my king.
Maybe I succeeded a little. Jumping from the floor to the middle. You think I want the credit? I don't. Cause the glory ain't made for me, no. I know who sits on the throne, who makes the stage and writes.
commandments. So when he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, it's the same thing that he said in Torah about if he loves those and he has mercy on those who love him and keep his commandments. He's not changing anything. Okay, and so the world wants to just look at the New Testament and say, okay, what specifically did Messiah say? And Messiah, he always gave a overview of the commandments. You know, what is the greatest commandment? To love Elohim with all your might, all your heart, and with everything that is within you, and to love your brother as yourself. He said, but upon these two commandments, which are not actually really commandments, they are an overview of all the commandments of what the Most High was saying. Love me with everything that you have, and love your brother as yourself. Those are overviews of the entire commandments. Because upon these rest all of the commandments. You can sum them up. The summation. You can sum them up this way. And so when people only read the New Testament and they believe that's all that Messiah was talking about, then they start looking at, you know, the mercy of the Most High. They start looking at the love of the Most High, the forgiveness of the Most High, because that's what the New Testament is all about. I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to have mercy on you, and I do love you. But I don't love you if you're disobedient. They don't want to hear that. I don't love you if you're disobedient. And I don't love you if you don't love me. So let us go to John chapter 15. John chapter 14. Let's get verse 23. Just drop down to verse 23. And the word of the Most High reads, Yeshua answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come and unto him and make our abode with him. Now the same one and self same spirit. It is only one spirit. Okay, the spirit that was in Messiah is the spirit of the Father. So Messiah's spirit and the Father's spirit are one and the same. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And so he can say both will come because they're one and the same. It's not that they got the same mind and they think the same way. It is the same entity. So, again, he says, you have to have the understanding for this. Now, you will think that there's two. But we're always told that there's only one. Okay? And so when he says, we will come and make our abode with you, that same one spirit. So let's get this. We're just going to hit one verse and we're going to come back. New Testament. You know, I hate when my computer don't cooperate. Let me do it this way. Let us get 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let us get verses 12 through 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Mashiach. For by one Spirit, not two Spirit, not the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son, because they are one in the same Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member but many. So we have to understand it's by this one Spirit, Father and Son, it's the same Spirit. Let's get one more verse. On this line. I know why. Wonder what's going on here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's get verse 19. What spirit was in Messiah? What spirit is in Christ? To wit, that Elohim was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. So the spirit of Elohim is the same one that was in Yeshua HaMashiach, the spirit of Elohim, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So all the work that the Most High has done through Messiah, it was by his spirit, that one spirit, okay? And so we have to understand that we're always dealing with the one spirit, okay? And when it says we, it's talking about really offices that the Holy Spirit occupies. The Holy Spirit occupies the office of Father. The Holy Spirit occupies the office of Son. The work that's being done from the standpoint of creation, he's coming from the standpoint of the Father. From adopting us as children or creating us as children is from the position of Father. From salvation is from the position of Son, but the self-same being. Okay. So when he says we, he's talking about those two dualities, those two roles, but it's one spirit, one entity, doing different things. That's how he's saving us. That's how he deals with us. Okay? And so we have to understand that by one spirit are we baptized into the body of Messiah. Okay? Let us go to John chapter 15. Following Messiah. Because if you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I do. Say what I say. Let's start in verse 4. Okay? Let's start in verse 1. John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, the farmer, the caretaker. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. What is he saying by that? When you trim a branch, a fruitful branch, it will grow back and grow more fruit on it. But he's saying the unfruitful branch, he takes it away, he cuts it off, it don't produce any more fruit, and he throws it in the fire. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, and it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. We have to be in Messiah, and Messiah has to be in us. We have to be part of the body. And we are a part of the body by his spirit. As the branch cannot bear the fruit of itself, the branch don't produce fruit of itself. The fruit is coming from what is coming through the root. Except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. So he's saying, I am the vine, the root, and you are the branches. And you cannot produce fruit if you're not in him and he's not in you. If any man, verse 6, if any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So we want to follow after him. We want to bear much fruit, but the fruit that we bear, we want it to be true fruit. Not just any kind of fruit. And it has to come through him. Now, we are living in a time when the word is going to become scarce. And the spirit of the Most High is going to become scarce. That he's going to start pulling back his spirit. And not giving it to everyone. Because of the hardness of people's hearts. I was talking to my sister last night, and we hadn't talked in a while, and she was saying that she was teaching school at a high school, and that, you know, it's an all-black high school, and the students, the only thing that they want to do is fight. And this is the generation, it seems like everybody born in the 90s and after, we got a lot of mental issues going on. And, I'm serious when I say that. We seem like we have a lot of mental issues going on with our children. They don't want to obey. They don't believe in anything but self. They only want to be recognized. They want to be famous. They want wealth based upon somebody else's work. And, you know, so we are dealing with it seems like a lost and desensitized and hard generation. And we really need to find another way to reach out to them. And, you know, I'm praying to the Most High that he give me the words to be said to them, because it doesn't even seem like they care about love. It is all about what they want. And so if you offer them Messiah, they don't really gravitate to Messiah. They don't really gravitate to the love of Elohim. It's like their hearts have been so turned away from him that they are almost unreachable. But we cannot give up on them. And so, you know, my heart went out to her because she's trying to reach them, and she's in a secular school. And so she can't really just talk about God unless they do. And then she can, you know, sort of witness to them. But this generation, for our people, our youngsters, it seems like they are becoming more and more lost. And it pains me. And so you got to figure out, how do you create fruit and get fruit out of them? the masses of them, which, you know, especially if they're in the inner cities and they are, you know, the girls are fighting with girls, gang-related, and boys are fighting with boys, and it's gang-related, and their family has become the street. How do we reach them? How do we get them to want to abide in Messiah, to come into Messiah and be his? It's like they have heard everything, or maybe they've seen everything, heard everything, or they got too many inputs, from the world, whether it's through the internet or whether it's through school or their friends, whatever, the TV, that it has shut them down. And, you know, so how do we create fruit in this, in that generation coming up? You know, it has to be the Most High that calls them. It really does, that unctions them, because they are seeming to become more and more and more just desensitized to the word of the Most High. And if not desensitized to it, they just don't know what to believe. They are exposed to so much and so many things that are just false. I mean, anybody with any bit of age on them knows that the things that a lot of them talk about, it's just false. It's a lie. But they believe it. From the earth being flat to, oh, you name it. They believe it. And it's like we are going backwards very quickly. And so how do we reach that generation that have, you know, it seems that they really do have some emotional and mental problems going on. It, you know, it has to be truly, truly the work of the Most High to reach them, to get them to understand that they got to come into Messiah if they want something better. But I think that they don't see anything better, or they don't believe that they can see anything better. So, and to, you know, the ones that are in Messiah, 3 verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. That's an if condition. But the world, the church, is saying that Messiah loves you unconditionally. If is a condition. It's a condition. I'm putting a condition on my love. I'm putting a condition on whether I will take you, whether I will accept you. And he says the condition is if you keep my commandments. You shall abide in my love. Now he's going to love me no matter what. He's going to love me just because I'm a human being. He's going to love me because that is his nature. The Father never loved that way. Neither does he do it from the Son, from that position. It is conditional. I have mercy on them that love me and keep my commandments. I'm not merciful to everybody. I'm not loving to everybody. But we don't want to hear that. And you know, people, it's almost like we have a need that the Most High has to accept us unconditionally. No matter what we've said, no matter what we've done, no matter how we say it, no matter how disobedient we are, the Messiah himself is saying it from the position of your Savior, from the position of salvation, from the position of redemption. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. You shall stay in my love. But if you don't keep my commandments, then what? Very clear. You will not stay in my good graces. You will not stay in my love. So we got to know how to follow him. And how to follow him is to obey him, to keep his commandments. And how do we teach this next generation to do that when the church, the body, is sending out so many different signals? You know, it's no wonder that the younger generation is confused. It's no wonder that they are hard to reach. It's no wonder that they got this, I think that this scripture makes all the more sense now, looking at it in that vein. Let me get the scripture. And when we read this, it should make perfect sense. Matthew chapter 24. The book of Matthew chapter 24. And let's get verse 12. Because this really is where I see us at today. Especially with the younger generation. Not saying all of them, but I'm saying 90%+ of them fall into this. And because iniquity, lawlessness abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. I don't really think that the church understands that not keeping the laws of the Most High and not having a standard. In the Most High's ways, they are a standard. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's the standard. Keep my commandments. But if you don't have any law, you're not up under any law, and you are living in iniquity, not keeping his laws, his statutes, commandments, his judgments, and it says that the love of many will wax cold. And I think that's the signal that we're sending to the younger generation, the church at large. It's sending that signal. Iniquity. No standard. No lawfulness. And so it is confusion. And the younger generation, this is showing up so prevalent in them that they have become cold and callous when it comes to the Most High, and not able to and not willing to follow him because of the image that the church is setting. The body of Messiah, the ones that say that they are following him, oh, if you, it doesn't matter what you do. Worship God, worship Elohim how you want to worship him. Most I never gave that option to anyone. Never gave it, but that's what the church is pushing. And so this younger generation is like, hey, there's not a standard. There's not anything consistent. This one is saying that, and that one is saying this. Neither one of them are keeping the law. And so whatever I do, I got to do is say I'm sorry, and it's all good. But I think somehow that does not feel right to them. And it should not feel right to them. But instead of them going and searching, they are becoming deep and finding it hard to connect to the Most High or to follow him. If you're being told to not keep his commandments, then you are abiding, you're telling people to abide in iniquity, which means they won't abide in his love. And when we learn this, then for those that have been, eyes have been opened, and their ears have been opened, then they understand that, hey, I have to be obedient, and I have to keep his commandments. I cannot reside in iniquity. Because to do so means that I don't abide in his love. I don't know how we can't see that. And so, and being youngsters, unless the Most High leads them, they don't know who to believe. This is a case of, I think, information overload. Hearing from too many different sources and hearing contradictory information from too many sources. You say this, they say that, these people over here say something else. And so to any youngster that may be listening, that may hear this, your parents playing this, or may the Most High may send you to it, I want to tell you that the Most High wants one thing from you, and that's complete obedience to his word. If you are able to read, read for yourself, and let the Most High lead you. Let him draw you. But for Elohim's sake, for your own sake, don't let anybody tell you that you don't have to obey him and keep his commandments. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not up under his laws. Because then they're telling you to live a life of iniquity. And Messiah says, hey, if you keep my commandments, then you will abide in my love. But in your day, because iniquity abounds, because it is everywhere, iniquity is lawlessness. The laws that the Most I care about is his laws. And because iniquity abounds everywhere, he says you're going to develop a cold heart. You're going to be to where you don't want to love. And it says that your heart is going to grow cold because of it, because you don't have anything to grab onto. No standard. But Yah loves you, and he wants you to love him, and he wants you to show your love to him by your obedience. And he wants to save you, but he wants you to want to be saved. He wants you to want to be a part of him, a part of his family. He don't want you to be a part of a gang that some man or some boy or some gang leader is running. We want you to be a part of his body. His way are right. The ways of men are evil. They're self-serving. They're going to require something of you that is only going to be to your ruin. But the Most High wants to give you life. And so he wants you to have something to hold on to, something that is rock steady, and that is his word. And if you can't believe it coming out of everybody's mouth, go before him yourself. Let him know, I just want to know what's right. Teach me. Because the world has you in the church, and, you know, speaking to all the churches, all those pastors, who are saying that you are not up under the law, that you don't have to obey the law, it doesn't apply to you, that you are saved by the love of Messiah, and no matter what you do, it's okay, and it's not. You know, that's just a lie. And you've been taught a lie, and you're teaching a lie. because we just read, if you abide in, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Not if you disobey my commandments, you abide in my love. It can't be both. Some will believe Messiah over you. And that's what the children should do. They should believe Messiah over anybody else. The word says this. And don't let them twist it, change it, so that they have you disobeying. Anything that's going to have you disobeying the Most High, you need to know that that is not what you want. Not what you want to do. And you know that of the adversary. Whether they want, you know, just like Messiah told, you'll read this in you if you haven't, get behind me, Satan. He was talking to one of his disciples. Why would he call his disciple a Satan, a devil? Because you're trying to get me to go against the will of the Most High. You're trying to prevent me from doing what Elohim has given me to do. You mean well, but that's how Satan comes off. It looks like it's right. Sounds like it's right. But it's not. And so if you're going to follow Messiah, then you've got to learn what his commandments are, and you have to keep them. And not just what you read in the New Testament. Not what you read in the, just what you read in the New Testament, but in the entire book. It is better to keep even the ones that are been changed, been modified, or done away with, all but the sacrifice of animals. I won't say that. You can get away with that. But if you did it in ignorance, then the Most High would forgive you. But you don't, we don't want you doing that. But what it is better to do it all and then learn what you shouldn't be doing and what you should be doing than to not do it. Than to not do it. I hope I said that right. It is better to do those things that even have been deleted or modified to keep the word of the Most High and to learn, because then you're doing some things in ignorance. You don't know any better than to not do it, than to be willfully disobedient. Or follow men over a cliff. The Most High will correct you. He will send somebody to correct you, that you might do his will. So don't let anybody tell you that you are not up under his laws. His laws are his commandments. Anything that the Most High says you should do is a commandment. Anything he says you shouldn't do is a commandment. He don't make no suggestions. So if he says do it, do it. If he say don't do it, don't do it. And you will always be safe. And then anything that the Most High wants to correct you on through chastisement, he'll send somebody to, you know, you really shouldn't be doing that that way, or you shouldn't be doing that because of these things. This has been changed, and here's where it was changed. Here's where it was modified. So that you learn to love him. You learn to serve him. You learn of him. Because right now, the way the world has it, you don't even want to get to know him, much less follow him. And so as I'm looking at the youth that are in the secular world, that are in the churches, that are following after the traditions of men and the doctrines of men, that are being taught in error, generation after generation, we are losing more and more to the adversary. Why? Not because of the adversary, but because of our own iniquity, our own unlawfulness, our own desire to want to be forgiven, but don't really want to work toward perfection. We want to hold on to weaknesses and easy. Not really wanting to work for perfection. Because, you know, it's a work. If you're not perfect, then you got to do some changing. You got to do some work to try to become perfect. You got to give up some things. You got to dodge some things, some ways, some doctrines, some beliefs, so that you can keep the commandments of Messiah. And not just by loving the Most High with all your heart and with all your strength, because you don't even know what that means. Most believers today don't know what that means. They have made it up in their mind what that means. And the truth of the matter is, the Most High says it all the time, hear me and keep my commandments. That's how you show your love for him. That's how you follow him. That's how you follow Messiah. That's what Messiah did. He proceeded, he acted on every word. And he said, proceeded out of the mouth of Elohim. That was written. And he would always say, it is written. It is written. So don't be afraid to pick up your Bible and just read. Even if found unbelievable, or you're like, you know, all this lineage stuff just puts me to sleep. You know, that's common. But trust me, if you develop a love for the Most High, even those lineages become interesting. The word of the Most High will not put you to sleep after you read a couple of verses. It will not, you know, bore you to where you're like, you know, I don't know how they read this. I mean, I have to admit, even for myself, when I first started reading the Bible, I could read a verse or two, and I was out. Literally, just put me to sleep. Whoop, I'm out. Can't go to sleep, let me pick up my Bible. But Yah came to me, and I had a gift, and I don't think that it was of him, because I could meet you, talk to you a couple of minutes, and I could tell you things about yourself that I should not know. And I wasn't using it for good. I was using it for evil, for iniquity. And then I started reading the word of the Most High, and I started seeing these people with what I would call familiar spirits saying things that they shouldn't know. I asked the Most High to take it from me. Take this from me. Even if it's a good thing, take it from me. Why? Because I'm not using it for good. It could be a blessing, but to me it's a curse. Because I'm using it for evil. And something left out of me. I can still feel it, see it. I'm laying in the bed in the dorm. I make this prayer to the Most High, and something left out of my body. It hit the lockers, boom, 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 on the way out the window. Went out the window. And I've never done it since. And have not asked for it back. Now, could I use that for good? If the Most High, if that was his will. But either way it goes, I was using it for evil, and I did not want to be evil. I wanted a relationship with the Most High, and I didn't care what it took. It wasn't all about getting with this female or that female or, you know, being able to take this person's money. It was about having a relationship with him. Being able to be before his throne and in his presence without any guilt. Without feeling like, you know, I should not be here. Not feeling like I'm worthy or good enough, but that my heart's desire is to be in his presence. And to learn about him. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to learn. And so when I finally submitted myself to him, and it's like he asked me in my spirit, what do you want? Ask me what you will, and I will give it to you. And I said, I want you to make your word like a fourth grade book. I want you to make it like a fourth grade book to me that I might teach others. Because that is my reason for being. To serve the Most High and to teach His word to others. To bring them into the right relationship with Him. Make this word, this is like a fourth grade book to me, like an elementary book. See, Jang, run. Run, Jang, run. I wanted it to be that simple. And that I would have understanding of it. So that I could convey it to somebody just that simple. And the Most I want us, he says, learn of me. You can't love somebody, truly love them if you don't know them. Because then what are you loving about them? You know, you ever have somebody tell you that they love you and you say, well, why do you love me? And they don't have an answer. Well, I just love you. Well, what do you love about me? And they can't name anything? How do you love me then? Well, I just do. But you don't know why you love me, so... Do you really love me? Me, the person. And this is what the Most High says to us. Learn of me. And love me. And when you learn that his love for his creation and for his children, those that obey him, he loves with everything. He will forgive you for sin because he knows that you're not going to willfully sin. You're not going to be willfully disobedient. Oh, you disobeyed me intentionally. You knew what you were doing. Because then he turns into a whole other being. I won't say turns into. He just lets out a whole other side of him. Hey, I don't play that. And when you learn that, then you learn that, hey, no, I can't do that. These people who are saying this stuff, that's nonsense. Because the Elohim of this book don't play that. And so he simply says, you know, there are people out there that think that I'm slack. how I'm going to punish people. That I'm slack with my judgment. They think that because it doesn't come immediately, that I'm never going to do anything about it. And so we got to understand that the Most High says, yeah, I could get you immediately, and I could get everybody immediately. But I would be killing everybody, every generation, constantly. And I would be condemning them in constant condemnation. And if I got you right away, then there would be no chance for you to repent. no hope for you. Because by right, as soon as you did something wrong, I could exact the punishment. But I've appointed a day. And I want to bring you all into the knowledge of the truth as to who you're serving and how I want to be served. I want you to obey me and keep my commandments. That's every man. That is the whole duty of every man, woman, and child. Obey my voice and keep my commandments. Fear me. Don't let me leave that out. Fear me. So there's a reason you should fear me. You should not be walking around me feeling like you should be comfortable. You're just so good that you don't have nothing to worry about. Because all it takes is a little bit of sin. And you can earn my wrath. You will earn my wrath. And don't think that you got special dibs. Because you hear people say, well, the Most I know is my heart, and he knows I'm a good person, and yada, yada, yada. Most I says, I'm not a respecter of person. There's nothing that you can give me that I need. There's nothing you can do for me that's wrong. So just obey me. Want to make me happy? Just obey me. Learn of me and learn how to obey me. Learn what I want and what I don't want. And then I want you to do those things out of love. I want you to fear that there is a very big repercussion for disobedience. But I really want you to espouse. I want you to gravitate toward loving me because of righteousness, because it's right, because I'm telling you the right things to do. My ways are right. The way I do things are right. The way I do things are equal. The way I do things are just. And I don't care. I'm not a respecter of persons, so I'm not going to treat the rich different than I treat the poor, and vice versa. And if I require something of somebody with money, I require the same thing of somebody with no money. That's why I make the... Like I said, everybody was going to pay a redemption price. And it was one shekel, whether you were poor or rich. The rich didn't have to pay more, and the poor didn't have to pay less. That way, I'm treating you all equally. I want you to abide in my love. I want you to live in my love and not in my wrath, not in my anger. Because to have me angry at you is not good. It's not a good thing. Because with our Elohim, he's an Elohim of extremes. You do something wrong, and most of the things that you do with him, if they are in error, or if not in error, if they are a sin, the penalty for them is death. It's death, your life. Very few things don't require your life. And so if he were to exact that on you right away, how many of us could truly say we would be alive right now? That we would be walking and talking, eating and breathing right now? None of us. Not one of us. So we got to understand that he is being merciful. And he is being loving. And he is being kind. But that won't last forever. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 21. The book of John, chapter 21. Because a lot of times we're worried about what somebody else is doing. And we're worried about, you know, why are they getting away with this and I can't get away with it? And why are you seem to have a different requirement for this person than you do for me? Let's see what Messiah says about that. The book of John, chapter 21. Let's just start in verse 1. We're going to be reading down through verse 22-23. And I pray that we can hear this and that we can get it. And these things Yeshua showed himself again. After these things Yeshua showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. This is the way he showed himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. Now they were fishermen before Messiah came. Messiah has been crucified. He has been killed. And they are returning to their normal lives. They say unto him, we also go with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. That night they caught nothing. Now they are fishermen by trade. They should know when the tides are running and when the fish are running. And they're going out and they don't catch anything. But when the morning was now come, Yeshua stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Yeshua. Now he has come out of the tomb, and they have not met him yet. They know that they were told to go and wait to meet him, but they are, I'm going to go do what I've been doing. And so he comes to the seashore, and they don't recognize him. Then Yeshua said unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fish. Now they've been fishing all night. It's now morning. They have not caught anything. Messiah comes, and they don't recognize him. Got anything to eat? No. Cast on the right side of the boat, and now it's the multitude so great they can't pull the net in. And literally, how much they have caught is going about to sink the boat, the ship. That they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Yeshua loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord, or it is Yeshua. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was Yeshua, he girt his fish unto him, for he was naked. Now, he's out on this boat, fishing, naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land. But as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish lay thereon and bread. And Yeshua said unto them, bring the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fishes, 153. And after all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Yeshua said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples doth ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was Yeshua. Yeshua then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Yeshua showed himself to his disciples. The third time, but they still didn't recognize him at the first, when they first saw him. It was not until he said certain things to him that they knew. After that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Yeshua said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these, than your brethren? He said unto him, Yea, master, thou knowest that I love thee. He says unto him, feed my lambs. Lambs are baby sheep. He says unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He says unto him, yea, master, thou knowest I love thee. He says unto him, feed my sheep. Now the sheep are, they're not lambs. They're not babies. He says unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. Why do you keep asking me this? Because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? I've already told you I love you. You know I love you. He said unto him, master, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Yeshua said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself. You put on your own girdle, your own pants, and walk whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee. Somebody else going to clothe thee and carry you whether you wouldn't go. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify Elohim. He's telling Peter, this is how you're going to die. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter turned about, seeth the disciples whom Yeshua loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, master, which is he that betrayed thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Yeshua, master, and what shall this man do? Yeshua said unto him, if I will. Now, they're asking, who was it that betrayed you? And what shall this man do that betrayed you? Like, they didn't already know that, you know, this was Judas. Yeshua said unto him, if I will that he, the one that betrayed me, tarry till I come. What is that to you? Follow thou me. Stop worrying about what's going to happen to him. Stop worrying about what he's going to do or what's going to become of him. He was already dead, but if I want him to wait, if I tell him, wait here until the judgment, what's that to you? How does that affect you? And each one of us have to look at our own lives, and we can't let somebody else keep us from serving the Most High the way that he wants to be served, the way that he wants you to serve. Don't worry about what your brother or your sister is doing. Don't worry about, you know, what might happen to them, because you got to save yourself. What's that to you? Why are you worried about that? Just do what I told you to do. Follow me. Then went the saying abroad among the brethren. Now look and see at what people do. That the disciple should not die. That disciple should not die, but he was already dead. Yet Yeshua said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry, that he wait till I come, what is that to you? But what did they change it into? That man ain't going to die. And the scripture is quick to correct us that Messiah never did say that. This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. So if we're going to follow Messiah, we can't worry about what other people are doing. What did he tell you to do? What did he unction you to do? Do that with your whole heart. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. The Most High might have said, you sit still. You get busy. Why I got to get busy? Why they seem like they're not doing anything, and I seem like I'm, you know, I'm giving my all and I'm doing everything and yada, yada, yada. What is it to you? Put your focus on me and follow me. Don't worry about what they're doing. That's none of you. None of your business. Follow me. And so we got to understand that even as young believers, you got to know that you can't worry about what your brother is doing or your sister is doing or your father or your mother or your best friend or the saint sitting in the corner. You got to do what the Most High told you to do. You got to do what Messiah is telling you to do. Follow me. Learn of me. Do what I tell you to do. Keep my commandments. Obey my commandments. And you shall abide in my love. You shall abide in my good favor. And I'll love you back. And you can ask for whatever you will. I'm not going to give you anything that's going to cause you to die. But see, as I said, in my little story, I was using perhaps a gift that I could use for the kingdom. I was using it for evil. The Most High, some of us cannot give the kind of blessings that he wants to give us because we'll use it for evil. It'll become a curse. And so he'll give us what we're able to bear. But will keep us in the right path. That we abide in his love. So Messiah had to chastise people. Stop worrying about everybody else. Worry about yourself. Follow me. Acts chapter 15. Now when people first come into this wall, whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, whether you are a Jew and you think you're a Gentile, you have the mentality of a Gentile, you have not known the Most High, you have been far away from Israel, out of the truth, probably practicing the ways of the Gentiles, and the Most High don't want you to have culture shock if you're going to follow him. He allows for you to learn. But you absolutely must start here. Acts chapter 15, verse 20. Because this is required. What must you do to be saved? To follow Messiah. And this is the question in Acts chapter 15. Is it required for the Gentiles to be baptized, to be circumcised, to be saved? And the answer is no. Not required to be baptized. Not required to be circumcised, to be saved. But got to do these necessary things. Acts chapter 15 and verse 20. And let's actually start in verse 16. Acts chapter 15 and verse 16. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof. And I will set it up. That the residue of men might seek after Yah, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith Yah, who does all these things. So I want a residue. I want the residue of men, the rest of mankind other than the Jews, to seek after Yah, and all the Gentiles upon whom his name is called. Known unto Elohim are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is this, that we trouble not them, the Gentiles, and the rest of all men, which from among the Gentiles are turned to Elohim. Trouble them not with what? But that we write unto them that they abstain from the pollution of idols. Stop serving false gods. Stop serving false Elohim. Got to serve the one and only true and living God. The one and only true and living Elohim. And from fornication, stop having sex and not being married. Come into the relationship which Elohim will honor. And don't put your own definition on that relationship. Put Elohim's definition to that relationship. Because the world says one thing and the Most High says another. So you can't add to it or take away from it. So come into a relationship that is approved by the Most High. Stop fornicating. Stop having sex. Man and woman outside of marriage. Because the Most High does not condone marriage between a woman and a woman, and a man and a man. Yeah, so that's not what he's talking about. Those types of relationships should not exist, period. And if you are in one of those types of relationships, you can't correct it by being married, by getting married to one of the opposite sex. You can satisfy man that way, but you cannot satisfy the Most High that way. You say, oh, we're fornicating. We are a man and man, and we're not married. Let's get married. Wrong answer. It is not forbidden. It is actually as an abomination. Oh, we're two women and we are sleeping together, but we're not married. Oh, so we are fornicating. Oh, we'll stop fornicating. We'll get married and we won't be fornicating. And it is an illegal relationship. So you got to come out of that period, and there is no solution, no fixing that through marriage of the same sex. Doesn't matter what the government says. They can make it legal. And you can say, I'm going to go by the laws of man. You are free to do so. Then you can't have a relationship with the Most High. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care what church says it's okay. Because that is just that is taking the truth of Elohim, the truth of God, and turning it into a lie. He does not permit it, and man does not have the authority to change the laws of the Most High. Does not have the authority, and that's what man has been doing, changing the laws of the Most High to suit their own needs. Changing and making their own laws to supersede the laws of the Most High, to do what they want to do to meet their own needs. Because they cannot change the laws of the Most High. But they can write their own and keep them. And that's what they're doing. And saying that they're serving the true and living Elohim of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth. See, that is a lie. And you can't classify your relationship and say, oh, well, I'm a man with a man or a woman with a woman, and we are not married, so we're fornicating. And so all we got to do is get married, because the law of the land says we can get married and we're no longer fornicating. You might not be fornicating in the laws of man at this present time, but you're still fornicating and in an abominable relationship in the eyes of Elohim, the eyes of the Most High. I don't care who you are. No man has the authority to change that. No man can say that this is okay, and it's okay in the eyes of the Most High, because times have changed. People have changed. No, those practices are old practices. The Most High forbade them, still forbids them. And because they have become acceptable in the eyes of men today, because that spirit is in the world, the spirit has become bold and in your face, doesn't make it right in the eyes of the Most High. So you can't get married, and you have to stop fornicating. You got to quit the abominable act. And if you did get married and you want to be right with the Most High, and you're a man married to a man or a woman married to a woman, you have to come out of that. You have to come out of it. And you have to repent. Acknowledge that it is wrong in the eyes of the Most High. And it has to become wrong to you. As if it's, you know, if you're just saying, hey, I don't want to go to the lake, but I still like men or I still like women, and if I had my preference, I'd be doing that. Most I said, I looked at your heart. You would still be doing this. But you have to come out of it with your whole heart. You have to come out of it and mean it. Or else, you cannot belong to him, and I don't care what any pastor or church or organization tells you. Because you want me to save you, you want to be saved by me, then you got to come out of that abominable relationship, and you got to stop fornicating. So I'm not going to get married, so you can't say I married another one of the other sex, but you're still having sex with male or female. It's fornication. If you are straight, heterosexual, and you are having sex outside of marriage, you want the Most High to save you, you want to come up under the blood of Messiah, he says you must abstain. You must stop from fornicating. See, this is a big sin. I can't speak for times past. I know that it is, you know, there were times in the world that, hey, people didn't do it, or they did it secretly. Today, it is just open. It's sought after. It's bragged about by both sexes, male and female. Yeah, I got him. Yeah, I got her. And we take pleasure in bragging about it, take pleasure in doing iniquity. Yeah, let me go tell my girls, yeah, I got him. Let me go tell my boys, yeah, I got her. I had that. Taking pleasure in it, bragging about it. The Most I said, stop. Understand where you're at and what you're doing. And it is not acceptable with me. You have to stop. And to the young boys and girls who the world is telling you that you should be able to make a choice. Yeah, you should be able to make a choice, but let me help you make an informed choice when it comes to the Elohim of the Bible, the God of the Bible. You do not get to choose your gender. Whatever gender you were born with, that's the one you are. So you can say, I'm a female locked up in a male's body, or a male locked up in a female's body, all you want. It doesn't change with the Most High. He does not make a provision for that. And so you have something that you have to fight against or abstain. If you are born a boy, you are a boy. If you are born a girl, you are a girl. And all this other stuff that the world is telling you, when it comes to dealing with God, when it comes to dealing with the Most High, Elohim, it is not okay. And no man or woman has a right from a religious, biblical standpoint to make it okay. To say that Elohim understands when Elohim already knew and said, no, you shall not lie down, man shall not lie down with mankind as with womankind. Don't use the exit as an entrance. Don't lie with her and lust after, don't lie with him and lust after him as though you're with a female. And don't lust after a female in that way if you have not made her your wife. Both men and women. We want to do the nasty, but we don't want to do what the Most High says to make it right in his eyes. He said, don't do it. So stop fornicating. Stop having sex outside of marriage. That's what fornication is. Stop putting away your spouse, because supposedly you don't love them anymore, or you have no feelings for them, or y'all got married up under the false pretense, whatever, you got married. And it's only for the cause, for the reason of fornication, that the Most High allows you to dissolve that marriage. Sex outside the marriage. But those things you would learn about. But first you've got to stop. He says, if you want to be saved, stop worshiping other gods. Stop practicing and observing these false holidays, because that's being polluted by idols. That's worshiping other idols, because all those holidays are associated with other deities. So if you're keeping Halloween or Easter or whatever holidays the world keeps, Christmas, Thanksgiving, even the 4th of July, then you are polluting yourself with idols, with other gods, because those days are dedicated to other gods, to other deities. So you got to give all that up. But the world still want to keep celebrating those things and then saying that they have a relationship with the Most High and that they've been saved. The two don't go together. And then most people don't even know how their food dies. They just know that it's dead. If it was strangled, they don't care. If it was stressed out, they don't care. Because see, that's what strangling does. It's a slow death. But if the animal was stressed out because they, you know, raised them in these unsanitary, overcrowded slaughterhouses, and the animal knows what's coming, or is not killed quickly, then you're eating and it's going to affect you. It says, so abstain from things that are strangled. And from blood. How many of you eaten rare meat? Blood still running from it. And you're intentionally eating it. See, that was a dietary law, the last two. Oh, but wait a minute. That's if you want to be saved. You want salvation. But then they tell you, you're not up under those laws. Well, if you weren't up under them, he wouldn't make it a requirement for you not to eat, to abstain from things that are strangled. He wouldn't tell you to abstain from eating blood. Those are dietary laws. The rest of them, he knows that you're supposed to hear them over time. And as you hear them, you hold yourself accountable and stop doing them. Not saying that, hey, that don't apply to me. That was for them Jews. Not eating blood was for the Jews. Not eating things that were strangled was for the Jews. Not fornicating was for the Jews. Hebrew Israelites. not worshiping other gods. Those are all things that required of the Hebrew Israelites or the Jews. And you want to say that you're not up under the law. We don't have to do those things. But these are things that are required. And the Most High knows that if you're truly seeking after him, then you're going to learn the other commandments. You will be sinning in error, and he would forgive you. But as soon as you learn that you're not supposed to be doing something, or that you're something, that you would either stop doing it, you repent of it, and confess your sin, and he would forgive you, or you're not going to stop. And he's not going to forgive you. Because now it's willful. I know I'm not supposed to be doing that, but my ancestors did this. I've been doing this my whole life. I've been all right so far. Ask them to those Jews. Come out of that. The Most High didn't want a divided body. You don't want a body that's half Jew and half Gentile. Body conflicted because one half doing one thing of a body doing one thing and the other half of the body doing something else. There shall be one law, one set of requirements for Jew and Gentile in Messiah. So he didn't say that this was okay for the Jew. Because the Jew should have known not to serve any other god. And the Jew should have known not to be having sex outside of marriage. And the Jew should have known not to eat things strangled. And the Jew should have known not to eat blood, because these were things always against the law. It's not the same requirement. But if the Jew was living like a Gentile and didn't know who he was, and it applies to him because he's still got to learn too. The Elohim we serve is not unjust. So he says, you want to follow me? Learn of me. Then obey my commandments. Jew or Gentile. But start right here, because this is the starting place for salvation. Stop worshiping other Elohim, other gods. Stop having sex outside of marriage. Stop eating things that are strangled, and stop drinking the blood, consuming the blood. If you don't want to stop those things, then how do you expect to be saved? That's how you're going to follow Messiah. You're going to put away those things and follow him. And he is true and just to forgive you. And he is true and just to bring you into the kingdom. But you got to enter in and keep his laws, not the laws of man, not the laws of your own mind. Because the Most High didn't give anybody the authority to change his commandments. He didn't give anybody the authority to modify his laws. Not the priesthood, not the king, not the president, not the Congress, not the mayor. Not anyone. And see, what is funny is that we can agree when it's with stuff that we agree. So if you don't believe in people can't be gay, if you believe that they can't be gay, then you will be fine with that. But then if it's something that you don't agree with, then all of a sudden now you got a problem with the Most High. And so we got to understand, once salvation, stop those things. Whether you are Jew or Gentile. It is 7:57, my time, almost 8 o'clock. It's almost 9 o'clock your time. We're going to stop here. Because then we're going to look at other ways that we have to follow Messiah. Just if you obey my commandments, you abide in my love. I don't care who you are. You have to obey his commandments. His commandments are the ones in Torah with the modifications made in the new covenant. Got to keep them. Got to obey them. Can't say they don't apply to us. They do apply. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And you shall abide in Messiah's love. Otherwise, you only abide in iniquity. Shalom, family. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
What can I do? Shalom, brother. Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Shalom, family. Shalom, my sisters. Peace and blessings to you both. Have a blessed rest of your evening. See you in the morning.
All right.
I'm about to go fight with this pillow.
Me too.
And hope I lose.
I hope I lose.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.